This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ismullah al-Wadud. This name, even though it's only in the Quran twice, is one of the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have. And this is a name that is worthy of your contemplation and your reflection. And the category of the names from yesterday and today, attributes of His kindness and His closeness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have one more category to go, basically, which is what we'll cover tomorrow. And then on Monday, I'll do a finale. And then Tuesday, inshallah, which will be the last day of Ramadan, I'll have a kind of end of Ramadan talk. And that way we've covered one name, or at least one name from each of the 12 categories of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. Regrettably, there's a number of names that I wish we had time to cover, but we did not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Wadud, is in the Quran twice. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala lisani Shu'ayb alayhi salam, as he speaks to his people, wastaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayhi inna rabbi rahimun wadud. And seek forgiveness from your Lord and repent to Him. Indeed, He is the most merciful and He is the most loving. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Buruj, which is probably one of the most difficult surahs to read once you understand the story behind it, because the story is just so brutal. It's just such a difficult story to contemplate when these believers are thrown into a live fire, alive themselves, to burn for no real reason except for saying Rabbi Allah. There's nothing else. But at the end of the surah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of his might, He says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He is the most forgiving and He is the most loving, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the difference between al-hubb and al-wud? Because one of His names is al-wadud, but one of His names is not al-habib. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't use that name. You can describe Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that sense, if you're Habib al-Qulub al-Arifin or Habib al-Qulub al-Salihin, it's an acceptable description, but you can't use it as a name, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not call Himself that. But He called Himself al-Wadud. And if you were to go to a book like Fiqh al-Lugha al-Tha'alibi, rahimahullah, and you turn to the chapter where He talks about Faslun fil-Hubb, and He talks about the concept of love. And the Arab, interestingly enough, as rough as they were sometimes, or many times, when it came to this topic, they cared a lot, not only for it, but for describing it. So they had between 17 and 18 levels of what they would call love. And if you were to take al-hawa, wal-alaqa, wal-shaghaf, wal-sha'af, wal-dalah, wal-hub, and it keeps on going up, and it has all these levels. And don't ask me how I know this, but this is what they would go. And then one of the highest levels of love that you find in this book, al-wud. Wal-wud huwa al-hub al-khalis alladhi la yabtaghi sahibuhu jaza'. Al-wud is the pure love. The one who offers it wants nothing in return for it. And this is important, because when you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for you, you might go to say, well, He wants something in return, He wants ta'a, no. To want something in return, you have to want something that's beneficial for you in return. That's what hub would be. Wud is when you want nothing in return, and He wants nothing in return because there's nothing you have to offer Him in return, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Logically speaking, if you just take the word hubb, and you just use it, because hubb, there's an aspect of it, and it's a complicated term, whether you want something in return, you want to be loved back, right? Or you want something back from, that's going to benefit you, makes you feel different, or makes you feel nice. So that's why, to use that name as for Allah al-Habib, then it would suggest that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something back for Himself, that He would benefit from, but He doesn't. So He is al-Wadud, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who shows love. He shows His servants love and mercy and kindness and tenderness and compassion and empathy. And He does things to show them that. And He wants nothing back in return. because he does not benefit, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from your love. Nor does he benefit from your obedience. Nor does he benefit, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from your exalting or magnification. When he asks you for it, when he commands you to do it, because in its essence, it's helpful for you. It's not helpful for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This piece, for us as Muslims, is very important because this is how we understand God. We understand God that way. Other faiths know, they look at, there's a reason of why he created, and because they similar, yani they draw similes between man and God, they suggest or they assume that God created him, that he must want something in return. There must be something that he's looking for himself. جل جلال الله. He must be lonely, or he wants to be loved. جل جلال الله تقدس وتعالى عن هذا سبحانه وتعالى عما يصفون. There's nothing to offer him. So he's al-wadud because there's nothing in it for him. He just shows you love. Now if you choose to show love back to him, then good for you, and it's something that will help you, but it doesn't do anything for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why he's called al-wadud, because no matter what you do, whether you obey or you don't, or you love or you don't, it doesn't make a difference to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. His status stays the same. His power stays the same. His compassion, everything stays the same. What we're doing is we're doing it for us. It's something that's filling our hearts up. And that's why he created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to experience the beauty that we get to through loving him. But he is al-wadud, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's the meaning of it. يروي الإمام البخاري في صحيحه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم قال إذا أحب الله عبدا نادى جبريل فقال يا جبريل إني أحب فلانا فأحبه. If Allah loves a servant, and there are degrees of love, as I've explained to you, the Arab had degrees of love. So there's a basic degree of love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows all of his creation. And then there's other degrees of love. It escalates and goes higher, yani depending on what you do. Right? وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. And my servant will continue to perform nawafil, qiyam layl, and give sadaqat, and do dhikr and tasbih, do stuff that he doesn't have to. She doesn't have to do it, but she's doing it anyway. حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ, until he loves you. Until he loves you, meaning a level of love that is higher than the level that he already showed you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he loves his servant at a level that is higher than what he has offered everyone else, he will call upon Jibreel, and he will say, Ya Jibreel, inni uhibbu fulana. Indeed, I love this person, so love him too. Fayuhibbuhu Jibreel. And Jibreel will love you, or love the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that about. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي جِبْرِيلِ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَيَقُولِ يَا أَهْلَ السَّمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّهُ. And then Jibreel will call upon amongst the people or the ones that live in the skies, in the cosmos. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creations that we don't know. Indeed, Allah loves Fulan, so love him or her. فَيُحِبُّهُ. And the people of the sky will love him. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put qabul acceptance. He will descend acceptance on earth for this person. And from this we take the understand the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where he would if someone told him, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi fulan, I love him, he would tell him, Al akhbartahu aw hal a'lamtahu, fayqul la, fayqul idhhab fa'alimhu aw idhhab fa'akhbirhu. If someone told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I love fulan, you ask him, did you tell him? And he'll say no, so go tell him. Him, not her. Huh? Just so you understand and don't take this the wrong way. Go tell him. The sunnah of if you love someone, you make it clear. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had a beautiful thing he said. He said this once. He said, لو خيرت يوم القيامة بين أن يحاسبني ربي أو يحاسبني أبي وأمي لاخترت الله. If on the day of judgment I was given the option of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judging me or my parents judging me, I would have chosen God. لَخْتَرْتُ اللَّهِ, I would have chosen Allah. لِأَنَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِي مِنْ أَبِي وَأُمِّي, because he is more compassionate and loving and empathetic towards me than my father and mother will ever be. This is the fiqh of Imam Ali, his understanding of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you more. Believe me, if your parents judge you yawm al-qiyamah, they find out all the stuff that you did that they didn't know about. And they thought you didn't do a lot of things you did that they are led to believe that you didn't do. And you're better off having them led to believe they didn't do. Yawm al-qiyamah, they find out that you did it, and then that's it, khalas. I knew it. I knew you were lying the whole time, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arham bina min abaina wa ummahatina. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, innal ladhina amanu wa amilu salihati sayaja'alu lahum ar-rahmanu wudda. Indeed, the ones who believe and they perform the deeds that was asked of them, their Lord, the Rahman, the Most Merciful, will make for them yawm al-qiyamati wudda. He will prepare for the... It's as if wud, which is love, which is the type of love that I've explained to you, it's as if it's an entity. It's something. It's almost like it's physical. Almost like it's going to have a physical existence or physical yani entity yawm al-qiyamah that he will have prepared for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to receive once you get there. Once you get there, you're going to receive this divine love from Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Have you ever thought about how this whole story began with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? When you think about this story, when we're coming throughout these nights, this whole story began in one of these nights. Maybe last night, maybe the night that's coming, maybe the night after, maybe the one after, maybe it was a few nights ago. Allahu a'lam. Within these last 10 nights, this whole story began. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he witnessed the beginning of al-Wahi, it was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam coming to him in the form that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him in the magnificence of Jibreel. But when you think about it, what is it that Jibreel did to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? As intimidating as that first moment was, and as scary as it was, and as serious as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to take it, with all of that being understood, and even the back of our minds, still the first moment was with a dhamma. It was with a hug. That's what the Prophet ﷺ tells us. قَالْ فَضَمَّنِي جِبْرِيلِ. He came and he hugged me. But he hugged me really tight. It was a tight and firm hug for sure. The Prophet ﷺ felt he was going to die, but it was still a hug. It wasn't a punch. He wasn't held down ﷺ. It was a hudn. It was a dhamma. It was a hug. It was a hug because this whole story is going to start with love. It's firm. It's intimidating because it's serious. Because this story is not to be taken lightly. Because what you're going to be asked to do in life is not simple. And it's no joke, Yawm al-Qiyamah, but it starts with a hudn. It starts with a hug. Because the basis of it all is love. It says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. All those who believe, if any of you decide at some point to walk away from all of this, commit apostasy and say, I'm done, then know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring others than you. Those whom He loves and those whom love Him back, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the first description. But بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. He loves them and they love Him back. This concept, if you follow this word in the Quran, the concept of love, you'll find it all over, everywhere. It's all over, everywhere in the Quran. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And there are people who will choose associates and other forms of gods aside from Allah, and they'll love them as they love Allah. But the believers, the true believers, the mu'minun, no. أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Meaning they'll never love anyone as much as they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, there's an ayah in Surah At-Tawbah that kind of breaks this down a little bit more deeply. قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا. He talks about eight things, all eight things you're supposed to love. You're supposed to love your parents and your children and your brothers and your spouse and your tribe. You're supposed to love the house that you live in, and the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, and the career that you chose. All that, you're supposed to love these things. أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا. But if they're more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet and striving for His sake, then wait for difficulties to come your way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be more beloved to you. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. Prove it by following him. And if you do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you back, meaning He will increase His love to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no way to explain why the universe around us is the way it is without concluding His love. When we talk about His name al-Badi'a, Al-Badi' is the fact that the world is as beautiful as it is because his name is Al-Badi'. He made it that way. He innovated, invented, and put it that way. But why is it that the Badi' subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that way? Why do roses smell the way they do? Why do birds sound the way they do? Why is there so much different types of things to eat that taste so good? Why does nature look so beautiful? Why is there all this beauty in the world? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wadud. Because he's the most loving. And he shows his love by having you experience all of this beauty around you at all times. Al-Badi' is the one who put it there. Al-Wadud is the reason why he put it there. There's a difference. Al-Khaliq, Al-Badi' is the one who put all that there, set it all out. The reason that it was chosen to be set out that way is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wadud. When you listen to the Quran, you hear him subhanahu wa ta'ala talk to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam during difficult moments. وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. And persevere until I give you my judgment or my decree comes your way. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Indeed, you are. أَعْيُن. You ever go to an Arabic country and you speak to, especially if you come to Damascus and stuff, and you speak to someone, like بِأَعْيُنِ. من عيوني على راسي. Can you take care of Fulan for me? بِأَعْيُنِ. I'll take care of him. What do you mean? Put them in your eyeballs. I don't see that to be even physically possible. But it's a figure of speech, meaning I will protect this one as I protect my eyes. As much as I love my eyes, I will show him love equally. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same phrase when he speaks about the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam. Persevere, and it's okay. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. You're in our eyes. We continue to watch over you and protect you as we would protect. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام left Mecca brokenhearted. He left Mecca brokenhearted عليه الصلاة والسلام. He walked away with tears in his eyes. He looked at Mecca and say, ألا إنك أحب بلاد الأرض إلي ولولا أن أهلك أخرجوني منك ما خرجت. Indeed, you're the most beloved piece of land on this earth to my heart, and if it wasn't for the fact that your people kicked me out, I would never left. So he left and he was brokenhearted alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him the end of Surah Al-Qasas. And this is what it says. Indeed, the one who has obligated you to carry the Qur'an, لَرَادُكَ إِلَىٰ مَعَدٍ. He'll send you back. He'll come back one day. Don't worry. After they lost during the Battle of Uhud, when they it was a hard loss. It was very painful. The Sahaba felt bad on so many different levels. It's like all these problems that came from Uhud. Uhud just kept on. It was the gift that didn't stop giving. Just one problem after the other. And it was heavy. So this ayah in Surah Al-Imran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا تَهِنُوا. Don't feel bad. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't feel sad. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. And you are still the ones who have the upper hand because you carry the truth. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you still believe in it. When the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام spent 6 months without revelation at the beginning of his bi'atha, he received alayhi salatu wasalam al-alaq wal-qalam wal-muzammil wal-muddathir wal-fatiha, and then it stopped. Jibreel stopped coming altogether. It wasn't for a day or two or three, it was for 6 months at least. And there's a difference of opinion among scholars regarding the time. But it was enough time that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam felt uncomfortable. It was enough time that no new Qur'an was being produced, that Quraysh was starting to mock him for it. Where's the, you have nothing else, that's all you got? Like 4 or 5 words. Where is the Jibreel? Is Jibreel not? So they started to make fun of him alayhi salatu wasalam, and he didn't know what he did, if he did something wrong. Or if so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come and say, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Indeed, I swear to you, by the brightest moment of the day, the darkest moment of the night, that your Lord never turned his back upon you, nor does he ever forget about you. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And the hereafter will be better for you than this dunya anyways. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. He's going to give you, your Lord is going to give you until you're satisfied, until you're happy. You won't be unhappy at the end of all of this. You'll be fulfilled and you'll be fully satisfied at the end of it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. When you go to the Quran, you find there's dua, and we talk about dua. And we talked about dua when we talked about his name Al-Mujib subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his name Al-Wadud, it's not dua that you use. Al-Wadud, you do something called munaja, something called shakwa. So you're not necessarily asking for anything. You're just speaking to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you listen to Maryam alayhi salam, when she speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi, inni nadartu لك ما في بطني محررا. Indeed, I'm going to make another. What she meant by that is I'm going to offer my offspring as dedicated to you, to the يعني, protection and the preservation of Masjid al-Aqsa. That was the idea. فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع. So accept from me. So she gave birth. فلما وضعتها قالت ربي إني وضعتها أنثى والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم. So she starts speaking عليه السلام to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, oh my Lord, indeed I have given birth and it's a daughter. And then the ayah says, it's almost like between brackets or parentheses, والله أعلم بما وضعت. Allah knows what she gave birth to. He did not need to be informed by Maryam alayhi salam. Yeah. But that's what munajah is. And that only happens when there's love. That dua is necessity. When you start learning this stuff, you start figuring out, oh, you're commanded to do dua. You're commanded, you have to do dua. Learn to do dua. We tell you, learn to do dua well. But dua is just the first level. There's many more. There's higher levels than dua. More meaningful levels than dua. You start out by just saying, Ya Rab, give me this, and Ya Rab, seek refuge you from you, and this, Ya Rab, you want things. And then if you want to yani, graduate to something higher, is where you just speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تُفَوِّضُ أَمْرَكَ إِلَيْهِ. You put your matter in His hand, you just speak. وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And females and males are not the same. I want to make her, yani, I want to make my offspring dedicated to Masjid al-Aqsa, but it's a girl, I'm going to do it anyways. And I called her Maryam. I mean, Abraham, she's speaking to Allah. It's just saying things. It's just explain. You're in a conversation with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a higher, you find the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam doing this, right? And you find him in his dua alayhi salatu wasalam, he does that. Allahumma anta ahaqqu man ubid, wa ahaqqu man humid, wa ahaqqu man dhukir, wa arafu man malak, wa ajwadu man a'ta, wa ajwadu man su'il, wa awsa'u man a'ta, وأنصر من يبتغي أنت الملك لا شريك لك أنت الفرد لا ند لك كل شيء هالك إلا وجهك. He's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, you're the one who is most worthy of being worshipped, the most worthy of being praised, the most worthy of being invocated. You are the one, you are the king who has the most tenderness. You are the one who is asked and you give the most. You're the one once supplicated, you offer that which the supplicator would not even imagine to receive. You are the one, and there's no one with you. Or the king, and there's no king aside from you. Everything will end except your face. This is what he does, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of these adi'i don't even have a punchline at the end. A lot of these adi'i, yani you find in the books, doesn't even have a, there's nothing. It's just, he's just speaking to Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find Sayyidina Ayyub, Rabbi, inni massani al-dur. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِ. Indeed, Lord, I have been inflicted by harm. And you are the most merciful. But what's the question? There is no question. There is no question. When Ya'qub alayhi salam lost his eyesight, he couldn't see anymore. He was so sad that he lost Yusuf and he lost Binyamin after him. Just sad, a father that was sad, you know, he lost his sons, he loved his kids. Some people, yani, struggle with that more than others, and he was so sad, and he cried so hard that he couldn't see anymore. His eyesight got affected, and they got upset with him. Like, why are you doing this to yourself? قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I am taking my pain and my sorrow and my sadness to Allah. I'm not taking it to you, and I'm not asking Him for anything. Nothing. Even when he wanted to ask, he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. I'm going to show beautified perseverance, maybe Allah one day will bring them back to me. He didn't even ask. He didn't ask. Because whatever he decreed, when the Prophet ﷺ walked out of Ta'if after being yani, horrifically treated by the people of Ta'if, he would sit under that tree. And the hadith may have some authenticity issues, but I am not aware of a scholar that does not accept it and use it. And it's in all three records of Sirah, both yani, all Ibn Hisham, Al-Waqidi, and Ibn Ishaq. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would sit there and say, اللهم إني أشكو إليك ضعف قوتي وقلة حيلتي وهواني على الناس. He would make this long dua that you all know. Oh Allah, I complain to you. The weakness of my strength, the scarcity of my resources, and how humiliated I am in front of people. He just talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And go back and read the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is coming from a place of love. This is coming from understanding his name, Al-Wadud subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bil athar anna Dawood alayhi salam أوحى إليه الله أن يا داود. In the أثر, it's in the إسرائيليات, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send to Dawood and say, يا داود لو يعلم المدبرون عني شوقي إليهم ورغبتي في توبتهم لذابوا حبا إلي هذا حبي للمدبرين عني يا داود فكيف حبي للمقبلين علي. O Dawood, if the people who are walking away from me knew how much I wanted them to come back, how much I love to see them turn around and repent, they would melt in love towards me. And this is how I love those who walk away from me. How do you think I love those who come towards me, Ya Dawood? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as he's walking, as he's going towards Mecca, right? In Umrah al-Qadha, the first time he'd ever performed a Umrah alayhi salatu wasalam, or a Hajj in the sixth year of his Hijrah. And they had not heard this before until then. When they started on the journey, I've always thought this moment would be quite fascinating to witness. The Sahaba are with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They're going towards Medina, and then they hear for the first time the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam start chanting, "Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata." لَكَ وَالْمُلْكُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ. لَبَّيْكَ means I'm coming. I am coming to you. I am responding and I'm on my way to you as fast as I can and as eagerly as I can. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. The word لَبَّيْكَ is a beautiful Arabic word. When someone calls you, you say لَبَّيْكَ, meaning I'm at your service. Whatever you want, I'm here, you command and you'll get. No objection, no delay, right then and there. And that's what لَبَّيْكَ means. It comes from a heart that wants to please him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wants to do whatever he asks for. Ask Jalla Jalaluhum. I'm going to, we're running out of time. So I'll end with this story. This story is in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and others as well. It's an authentic chain narration. And there's a piece of it in the collection of Imam Muslim. It's just not detailed. Where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us about the last person who leaves Jahannam. And the story is that this person gets out of Jahannam. فَيَقُولُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي نَجَّانِي مِنْكِ. All praise be to Allah that I got out of you. فَثُمَّ يُقْلَبُ فِي نَهْرِ الْحَيَاةِ فَيَنْبُتُ كَمَا تَنْبُتُ الْحَبَّةُ فِي حَمِيلِ السَّيْلِ. And then he comes out, he's all burnt, so he falls into the river of life that exists outside of Jannah, and then he comes out and he's back to how he was before. فَيُخْرِجُ اللَّهُ لَهُ شَجَرَةً تَحْتَهَا مَا. So he sees a tree and he sees some water under it. So he says, يَا رَبْ أُرْزُقْنِيهَا. Can I go and sit there? فَأَكُلُ مِنْ ثَمَرِيهَا وَأَسْتَظِلُّ بِظِلِّهَا وَأَشْرَبُ مِنْ مَائِهَا. I go, I eat from the fruit, I sit in the shade, I drink the water. فَيَقُولُ لَهُ الرَّبُّ وَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي بَعْدَهَا شَيْئًا. You don't ask me for anything afterwards. فَقَالَ نَعَمْ يَا رَبْ. That's it, I want nothing else. You'll send me there, I'm good. So he goes, he sits there. He eats, he drinks, he enjoys the shade. فَيُظْهِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَعْظَمَ مِنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him something a little bit better. So he looks at it, it's bigger, it's flashier, there's more fruit. The water seems more sparkly. The grass a little bit greener. So he waits for a bit because he made a promise. And he said, يَا رَبْ أُرْزُقْنِيهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَعِدْنِي أَلَّا تَسْأَلَنِي غَيْرَهَا. Didn't you just tell me you wouldn't ask me something else? فَقَالَ وَلَا أَسْأَلُكَ غَيْرَهَا. That's it, I won't ask you anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, go ahead. فَيَذْهَبْ فَيَأْكُلُ وَيَشْرَبُ وَيَسْتَظِلُّ وَيَنَامُ. He sits there, he's happy. فَيُظْهِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَا هُوَ أَعْظَمُ مِنْهُ. He sees something even bigger. فَيَصْبِرْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَنْ يَصْبِرُ. So he shows perseverance for as long as he can show perseverance. Like he holds on for as long as he can because he made a second promise. And then he loses it and he said, يَا رَبُّ ارْزُقْنِيهَا. Give it to me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, didn't we agree? فَقُلْ بَلَى. This is the last time, promise last time. So he gives it to him, he goes there, he eats, he drinks, he enjoys the shade. ثم يظهر له ربه أبواب جنات النعيم. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him the gates of heaven. And he sees, فيرى أهلها ونعيمهم. And he sees the people in it and they see the joy that they're in. So he sits and he waits for as long as he can, but at this point it's getting very difficult. فيقول يا رب أدخلني الجنة. Let me go enter. فيقول له ربه ادخل الجنة. Fine, enter. So he enters Jannah. فيظهر له ربه ألا مكان فيها. So Allah subhanahu shows him Jannah when he enters that is full. There's no vacancies. There's no spot. There's no place to sit. There's no place to eat. There's nothing to do. He can't. Everything is full. فيعود العبد. So the servant turns back to God. يا رب لم أجد فيها مكان. I didn't find a place to sit. I mean, you told me to enter, but there's no. You know, where do I go? There's not nowhere for me to sit. فيقول ألا يكفيك يا عبدي أن أجعل لك ملء الأرض في الجنة. How about I give you the size of earth in Jannah in terms of sovereignty, what you will own? فيقول العبد أتهزأ بي وأنت رب العالمين. You're mocking me, you're the Lord of the worlds. Why would you mock me? فيقول ألا يرضيك إذا جعلت لك مثلها. How about I give you two of them? So at this point, he's, you know, the عبد feels, oh, this is actually serious. فيقول رضيت, I'm good. فيقول فأجعل لك مثلها. How about I make it threefold? فيقول رضيت, I'm satisfied. فيقول بل أجعل لك مثلها ومثلها فعد تسعة أمثال. And he counts ninefold of the sovereignty of the biggest king on earth. فيقول ولا يثقل مع اسمي شيء. And nothing comes close to the weight of my name. فهذا يقول عليه الصلاة فهذا أدنى أهل الجنة منزلا. This is the person who has the least in Jannah. He's the lowest, the last person to enter Jannah. فما بالك بأعلى أهل الجنة منزلة. What do you think the people in the highest state of Jannah get? So the Sahaba said, يعني became extremely angry. يا رسول الله, وما لهم? And what do they get if this is the, يعني this, if this is for the person who has the least, then what does the person who has the most get? فقال أولئك قوم ينظرون إلى وجه ربهم غدوا وعشيا. Those are the people who look at the face of their Lord twice a day. فما بين النظرة والنظرة ينتظرون الأخرى. Between the first time they look and the second, they just wait for the next time for them to do it. They look at him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they sit down waiting for the next time. That's all. They don't care. And nothing else matters. Everyone else is, yani, in their spaceships or doing whatever it is that they want to do, enjoying whatever, yani, sport they didn't enjoy in this life or whatever spouses they didn't have in this life, whatever it is they want to do. These people, they look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then they go back and they wait until the next timing to do it. فَلَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ أَحَدٌ أَنْعَمَ مِنْ هَؤُلَى. And there is no one in Jannah that is even close to the na'im that these people are in. فَالنَّظَرِ إِلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ الْكَرِيمِ. To look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautified face. Because he's al-wadud, jalla jalaluhu. How do you live with this name? You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You show him love, as he has shown you. As you are today alive, and you know his name, and you are guided to Islam, so he's already shown you more love than you can ever repay if you were to live a million lives, fold after fold, time after time. You can never repay it. He's already shown you a lot of love, so show him some love back, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The least we can do is show Allah love. Love is different than obligation. We pray because we have to. Learn to do things because you want to. That's where love comes in. Love kicks in when you do things because you want to, not because you have to. It's okay to do it because you have to as a beginning, as a starting point. No problem. Do it because you have to. But don't stay there for the rest of your life. That's a lousy place to stay in for the rest of your life. Move on to where you do things because you love Allah, because you feel that love. Even in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of agony and pain, in the midst of humiliation and loss and blood, you still know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. And you still know and you still feel that love. And you still show him back love subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or else why do you think the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam was told these verses in the midst of his difficulty? The verses of love came in the midst of his suffering. In the midst of persecution and loss of life and loss of wealth and loss of status. إِلَّمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. As long as you're not upset with me, as long as there's no wrath upon me, then I don't care. I'm happy with whatever you give me. وَلَكِنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ أَوْسَعُ لِي. But I hope that your afia can find a way to encompass me. I just hope to find your afia. So show Allah love. Number two, acknowledge that He loves you. It's important to acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Make sure that you don't forget that piece. That He is al-wadud. That He does love you. There's two types of love, right? There's ease love and there's tough love sometimes. There's tough love too. Sometimes there's tough love. It's okay, still love. Still love. He's already shown you more love than you'll ever need. Whatever happens from now on cannot take away the love that He's already shown you. Just, that has to be. Whatever happens in your life from now until the end, no matter how, doesn't matter what happens, He's already shown you more love than anything can cancel. Nothing can cancel it. It's always going to be there. That love is divine. That love is divine in nature. And then finally, love people and love what He created and love what He put here. I'll end with this hadith for you to contemplate. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة من كنا فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان. Three things. If you have them, you will find the sweet nectar of iman. Like you'll actually enjoy it. It'll become something that you love. You'll become like the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Stand and read juz' 2, 3, 4. You're happy. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how long. You're not bothered. The Quran is being recited. You love that. You love listening to the Quran. You sit there. You say his name. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. You love it. You love hearing the name. You love saying the name. There's a joy that comes in saying his name, Subhanahu wa Taala, and saying the names of the ones that he loves, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You find joy in that. You find joy because you love him. Yeah? You want to come to that point. There's three things. أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب الرجل لا يحبه إلا لله وأن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يقذف في النار. Three things. Number one, you love Allah more than you love anything else. And you love His Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام more than you love anyone else. And you love the Muslims around you. And you love people only for the sake of Allah. You're not looking for anything. You don't want anything. You're not hoping for anything in dunya. You're just doing it because you know, they are close to Allah and they are helping you to be close to Allah. So you love them for that sake. Or you love them out of compassion. And number three, you hate to leave your deen, which means you love it. Like you hate to leave your deen, just like you would hate to be thrown into the fire, means you love Islam. So you love Allah, you love His Prophet, you love the Muslims, you love Islam. Love. If you love this stuff, then you'll find the sweet nectar of iman. The sweet nectar of iman. Iman will taste sweet to you. It won't be something forced upon you, something that you're disciplining yourself to do. It's something that you just find joy in doing. You find joy in it. Because it's filled with love. Because you love Him, you love His Prophet, you love His deen, you love the Muslims. And that's his name, Subhanahu wa Taala, Al-Wadud. May Allah Subhanahu grant us His love and allow us to love Him. I will share with you before we end this His du'a. We'll just make it at the end. This is what He used to say, Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Allahumma, ruzuqni hubbak, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, wa hubba amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbik. Allahumma, ma ataytani mimma uhib, faj'alhu quwwatan li fima tuhib. وَمَا زَوَيْتَ عَنِّي مِمَّا أُحِبُّ فَجَعَلْهُ فَرَاغًا لِي فِي مَا تُحِبُّ. Oh Allah, grant me your love. Grant me the love of those who love you. Grant me the love of every deed that will bring me closer to loving you. Oh Allah, everything that you gave me that I love, allow me to use it in a way that you love. And anything that I love that you took away from me, allow that time that was going to be spent using it, allow me to do something within it that you love. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.